Why would you regret me? I regret that I didn't fight for us.
Acacia closed her eyes. She didn't want to have this conversation. She already felt raw from the day's events. Her job and possibly her residency permit were in jeopardy. She didn't want to add Luke to the mix. He brushed the curve of her cheek and kissed her lightly. Sadness and longing washed over her. She fought for control, not wanting him to see what she was feeling.
Call me.
He touched her cheek, waiting for her to open her eyes. When she did, he gave her a small smile and walked to his Renault. He lifted his chin to his fellow BRB agent, who sat in an unmarked car nearby. Luke climbed into his Renault and drove out of sight. A lone tear streaked down Acacia's cheek. She'd done what she needed to do in the past. She wasn't going to second-guess herself. At least not today. She touched her chest, willing the pain to subside. Then she unlocked the door to her building and began to climb the stairs. Her thoughts turned to the day's events. With one act of civic duty, she'd practically ended her career. She could only hope Monsieur Ra's anger would wane, and she would be able to work herself into his good graces once again. Luke had been furious when she dragged him from the lobby and explained in hushed tones what had happened. He'd wanted to speak to Monsieur Ra himself, but Acacia had dissuaded him. She needed to fight her own battles, and she didn't want to lose the possibility of receiving a reference for future job applications.
I hope Monsieur Ra doesn't fire me.
She was so deep in thought, she almost didn't hear the voice behind her.
Mademoiselle.
Acacia startled and clutched at the metal railing of the staircase.
Careful.
Monsieur Breckman approached her from several steps below. You'll fall.
Stop!
Acacia lifted her voice.
Don't come near me!
The man stopped, Rick at his side. He frowned.
There's no need to be alarmed.
Acacia retrieved her cell phone from her pocket.
Leave, or I'll call the police. There's a BRB agent parked outside.
Yes, I know. With an agent close by, you're perfectly safe. Monsieur Breckman turned to his bodyguard and addressed him in English.
Rick, wait downstairs, please.
The bodyguard moved, his gaze trained on her.
I don't know how you got in without the agent seeing you.
Acacia watched Rick's departure over the edge of the railing.
Rick is very resourceful,
Breckman said dryly. He cleared his throat.
I had hoped to speak to you at the hotel. When I checked out, they told me you'd been sent home.
Acacia waited until Rick was out of sight and turned her attention back to the former guest.
Were you hoping I'd be fired?
Of course not.
The man inspected her features.
I hoped we'd have a chance to talk.
She bristled.
I'm not interested in talking to you. Why are you here?
I mean you no harm.
His voice was gentle.
I'm sorry about what happened.
She clutched her cell phone, poised to dial.
I had you arrested, and you're apologizing to me?
I wasn't arrested, the man sniffed. I was merely interviewed.
Merely?
Acacia scoffed.
I was sent home and demoted to night concierge. Monsieur Roy is threatening to fire me.
That's why I'm here.
The man climbed a step.
I defended you.
Acacia made a derisive noise.
Why?
We had a misunderstanding.
The man thrust his hand in the pocket of his coat.
I should have told you the painting was a reproduction.
Still, you did what any decent person would do. I admire you for it.
I don't believe you.
He gazed at her with admiration. Your suspicious nature will serve you well. Acacia retreated a step, still clutching her phone.
I want you to leave.
The man lifted his hands.
I'm leaving Paris, but before I go, I wanted to encourage you to fight your employer. Concierges are supposed to report illegal activity to the authorities. Ra knows that.
I embarrassed him. He's already heard from the corporation that owns the hotel. They aren't happy.
They'd be more unhappy if someone alerted the press to their hiring practices. You're the only visible minority in the entire hotel who has a rank above bartender.
Acacia pressed her lips together.
Why would anyone speak to the press about that?
Because injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Acacia's eyebrows knitted together.
Your commitment to justice, if genuine, is admirable. It's still inappropriate and intimidating for you to appear at my building.
I don't disagree. As I mentioned, I had hoped we'd speak at the hotel, but you were sent home. The man opened his trench coat and retrieved an envelope. He held it out to her.
What is it?
Your gratuity.
No, thank you.
The man opened the envelope and showed her the cash.
I thought I could smooth things over with Ra. I was wrong. He intends to fire you, even though he has no legal means of doing so. Use the money to hire a lawyer. If he fires me, it will be too late for lawyers. Concierge positions are difficult to get, especially in Paris.
Then resign your post, and use this until you can secure another position. The man extended the envelope once again.
No.
Her refusal was firm.
I don't want your money.
It isn't my money, Breckman protested. It's yours. You earned it.
I won't accept it.
Acacia ascended the stairs, cell phone in hand. She kept a watchful eye on the former guest. The man lowered his arm. I'm simply rewarding you the way I've always rewarded Marcel. Stop being stubborn.
Stop following me.
She began pressing numbers on her phone. Who are you calling? Your boyfriend from the BRB? His tone dripped with disdain. Acacia ignored him.
Wait.
Breckman paused a moment, then cursed. The Paris police still haven't discovered who attacked Marcel. It's possible you're in danger. Acacia lifted her head.
Why?
Breckman shifted uneasily. You're Marcel's replacement.
I don't know anything about his activities. The only suspicious guest I've had to deal with is you.
A muscle jumped in the man's jaw.
If I wanted to hurt you, I wouldn't warn you in advance. No, you just accost me at my apartment and issue threats.
He placed the envelope on one of the steps. I am a lot of things, mademoiselle, but I am not without honor. I'm not a thug, and I'm certainly not a thief. He gestured to the cash. The money is yours. Acacia's thumb hovered over the screen of her cell phone.
Take the money with you.
Breckman stood still. Whether you believe me or not, I didn't mean for you to be demoted. Quite the opposite.
Get out.
Acacia completed her call and ran as fast as she could up the stairs. She glanced over her shoulder to see if the man followed her. From below, she could hear quick footsteps and Breckman cursing. She leaned over the railing and caught sight of the man and his bodyguard as they exited the ground floor hallway through the back entrance. As her call connected to Luke, she burst into her apartment and bolted the door. Chapter 12.
I agree. This is the best bridge in Paris.
Kate grinned as she leaned over the railing on the Pont des Arts. Her long red hair twisted into a single braid that hung down her back. She wore a t-shirt and jeans, her feet clad in sandals. Acacia surveyed the crowded bridge from behind her dark sunglasses.
But today there are too many people.
Kate groaned, still leaning over the edge.
Forget the padlocks, the lovers, and the tourists taking selfies. Just look at the Seine.
Acacia followed her gaze. The river flowed beneath them, dotted here and there with riverboats. Since the water was still too high, many of the boats approached the bridge slowly before turning around and sailing away.
People come, people go. The river flows.
Kate sighed. She rested her chin on her upturned hand. Acacia removed her sunglasses.
Why so melancholy?
The breeze blew a strand of red hair into Kate's mouth, and she pulled it free.
I'm homesick, but I can't go home. I have to earn some money, and I have to haunt the library researching my thesis.
Acacia replaced her sunglasses.
I only go home at Christmas. Even then, Recife doesn't feel like home anymore. It's funny, I get homesick for Brazil. But every time I go back,
It isn't like I remember it. Yeah, Boston is the same way. I just miss my mother and my brother.
Kate turned and placed her back against the railing. She squinted in the bright sunlight.
How's the job search?
Not good.
Acacia continued to look down at the Seine.
I've sent out applications, but only two of them were for concierge positions. I received rejection notices almost immediately.
Why? She lifted a shoulder.
It could be because I haven't been at the Victoire very long. It could be because my manager is blackballing me.
If he wanted to get rid of you, wouldn't he help you get another job? Kate gave her an apologetic look. No offense.
I haven't earned his respect, so he won't vouch for me. His voice carries a lot of weight, and unfortunately, the hospitality world is surprisingly small. I'm so sorry.
Kate gave her a pained look.
How's the night shift? It's all right.
Acacia closed her eyes behind her glasses, suddenly feeling tired.
Even though I wasn't the senior concierge, I always worked the day shift. Depending on the day or the time of year, sometimes I worked with other concierges, and sometimes I worked alone.
Acacia opened her eyes.
The night shift concierge always works alone, and the workload is less, which means it's often boring until it isn't. The requests I'm receiving from guests are rather exotic. And I don't mean requests for tickets to Le Crazy Horse or Moulin Rouge.
She and Kate exchanged a look.
I've been on nights for 2 weeks, and I still can't adjust. Sleeping in the day, working at night, I feel like a vampire.
Is there such a thing as a Brazilian vampire?
Some of the most dangerous vampires are Brazilian.
Acacia gave her a solemn look before laughing.
What are you going to do?
She joined Kate at the railing.
Hopefully find another job before the manager fires me. I thought it was almost impossible to fire someone in France. It is, if the firing is done legally. In my case, the manager knows my work permit is tied to my job. I have to find another job in order to get another permit. That jeopardizes my residency in France, and it also puts me at a disadvantage with other employers. They'd have to apply for a permit for me.
Isn't that what happened before?
Yes, but when I started at Les Mérigions Étoiles, I was on a student visa. They applied for a work permit for me just before I graduated. When the Victoire recruited me, they modified my existing work permit. I've never been between jobs here, and I've always had legal immigrant status. My brother is a lawyer in Boston. Do you want me to ask if his firm can recommend someone here?
Acacia shook her head.
I'd likely be deported before I could pursue a lawsuit, and my manager knows it. He's just biding his time until he can give the personnel office a plausible reason to let me go, even if it isn't entirely legal.
Kate's green eyes sparked.
Won't the personnel office intervene?
Acacia leaned over the railing.
I'm just the night concierge now, and not everyone is sympathetic to the plight of immigrants.
That's ridiculous. We're all immigrants, or descendants of immigrants. People act as if contemporary nation-states were handed down from heaven, borders intact. Kate gazed down at the river once again.
What about returning to the Sorbonne?
You could switch to a student visa.
I could, but I think I'd have to go back to Brazil while I applied. I'd have to give up my apartment.
Acacia shook her head.
I love that apartment. I don't want to lose it.
What about the hot BRB agent who's been dropping by? Can he help?
He's my ex.
Kate put a hand to her heart.
The hot BRB agent is your ex? Are you kidding?
We dated when we were students.
Acacia focused on one of the tour boats that sailed beneath them.
I can't believe you have an ex with that level of hotness.
Kate pretended to fan herself.
Why are you exes? Is he a jerk?
Acacia rubbed the toe of her shoe against the railing.
No. And yes, he's hot. But he's a BRB agent.
I wouldn't want to date a cop either, but when his hotness is enough to power the city of Paris, I think I'd make an exception. Holy cow! Acacia stifled a laugh. Kate shaded her eyes with her hand.
There's a story there, but we need lots of chocolate and a bottle of wine for me to pry it out of you.
She rummaged in her pockets and withdrew a few euro coins.
What's the cop's name?
Luke.
Since he's your ex, I'll dub him Agent What a Shame, because again, that level of hotness should be illegal.
I could introduce you,
Acacia said quietly.
Absolutely not. You're my friend.
Kate closed her fingers over the coins and brought them to her mouth, blowing on them before muttering a few words in English. She threw them over the side of the bridge, where they barely missed a barge.
You're going to get arrested.
Acacia looked over her shoulder and scanned the bridge.
You aren't supposed to throw things into the Seine.
No one noticed. If someone comes by, we're tourists and neither of us speaks French. Or perhaps we can ask Agent What a Shame to bail us out.
Kate winked.
I just made a wish. I asked the river to help you.
Acacia fought a smile.
You think the Seine is going to find me another job?
Yes.
You're thinking of the Trevi Fountain in Rome. You throw coins into it and make a wish. Fountain, river, whatever. I made a donation to the river gods and asked them to help. I'm pretty confident they'll do something, or they'll have to refund my money.
Acacia snickered.
I appreciate the thought.
I'm here to help.
Kate cupped her hands around her mouth.
Come on, Sang! Don't let me down!
Over the sound of Acacia's laughter, her cell phone rang. She glanced at the screen.
I'm sorry, Kate. I should take this. It could be someone calling about a job.
Kate waved her off and continued to lean against the railing.
Hello?
Acacia stepped a few meters away.
Good afternoon,
a mature female voice said.
May I speak with Acacia Santos, please?
This is she.
This is Madame Bishop of KLH. We represent a number of corporations and assist them in finding exceptional employees.
The mere hint of hope caught in Acacia's throat. She moved the phone away from her mouth to cough quickly.
Yes, madame. May I ask how you got my name and number?
We are an executive search firm and have contacts in the hospitality industry. At the moment, we are assisting a number of clients who are looking to hire persons with concierge experience. I understand you're currently employed as concierge at the Victoire.
Yes, madame.
Would you be interested in interviewing with us? This isn't an offer of employment, but if your interview is successful, we can attempt to match you with a client company. Our client list includes multinational corporations as well as French companies, and they all offer generous remuneration and benefits packages.
Acacia shut her eyes tightly and tried to contain her excitement.
Yes, I'd like to interview. Thank you. Could you come in Friday afternoon, say at 2 o'clock?
Yes, I'm available then. Excellent. We are located in the financial district of La Défense. When you arrive, tell reception you have an appointment with me. I'll be expecting you promptly at 2.
Of course. Thank you, madame.
In the interim, I'd suggest you look at our website and familiarize yourself with the guidelines for prospective employees. Please email my assistant a cover letter and your curriculum vitae, along with any supporting documents.
Madame rattled off the email address of her administrative assistant.
Yes, madame. Thank you again.
Acacia ended the call and tucked the cell phone under her chin. Her heart beat quickly, and she found herself smiling. It wouldn't do to be excessively optimistic. A job in the corporate world would be different from one in hospitality. Still, it was too good an opportunity to turn down. Acacia dug into the pockets of her jeans and withdrew a handful of coins. She crossed over to where Kate stood and surreptitiously dropped them into the river.
What was that for?
Kate asked as she watched the euros breach the surface of the water.
I'm just showing my thanks to the river gods.
Acacia lifted her hands into the air.
I think my luck has changed.
Chapter 13. Despite her ray of hope, Acacia remained anxious. She worried her identity would be leaked to the media in the aftermath of the BRB's descent on Hotel Victoire. She'd set up a Google alert for any mention of her name, or, God forbid, a photograph. Dread filled her every time she checked her email. She hadn't mentioned the situation to her mother, foregoing their weekly telephone calls in favor of emails. It was impossible to hide her anxiety over the telephone. If Acacia lost her job, she wouldn't be able to support her mother, but she didn't want to worry her unnecessarily. By the time Friday arrived, Acacia was more than eager to quit the hotel. Monsieur Ra had recruited other staff members to watch her, eagerly looking for any misstep or hint of customer dissatisfaction. Acacia knew it was only a matter of time before he found something he could manipulate into an infraction worthy of termination, which was why she delayed turning over Marcel's journal to the Paris police. She'd researched KLH and found it to be a well-respected employment firm. She had no idea how she'd come to their attention, but she was grateful she had. Acacia had to cut her sleep short on Friday in order to prepare for the interview. That morning, she took extra care with her appearance. She was fortunate her tan skin was clear and required little in the way of cosmetics. Her parents had gifted her with beauty and an attractive figure that wore clothes very well. She had to remove her jacket and shoes when she went through security as she entered the building, a modern high-rise in the financial district. Their setup rivaled that of the airport. As she waited outside Madame Bishop's office, she carefully smoothed her black skirt. She wore a suit and her lapel pins, her hair and clothes intentionally conservative.
"Madame will see you now."
The administrative assistant approached Acacia and ushered her into a large corner office that featured floor-to-ceiling windows. A diminutive woman with black hair pulled into a severe bun at her nape and oversized red-framed glasses rose behind the desk.
"Mademoiselle,"
she extended her hand. Acacia shook it and took the seat that was offered to her. Madame Bishop returned to her seat and retrieved a file.
"I've reviewed your curriculum vitae, mademoiselle, and I've spoken with the Paris branch of Le Clé d'Or. They noted that you received several commendations during your tenure at Les Méridions Étoiles."
"Yes, madame."
She gazed at Acacia from across the desk.
"Some of our clients are looking for more than just an experienced executive assistant. I know the tradition of the concierge is tied to the hotel industry, but we've been successful in recruiting talented concierges to work in the corporate sector. For example, we recruited one of the junior concierges at the Shangri-La Hotel to serve as the personal concierge for the CEO of a major technology firm. Both our client and the concierge are happy with the arrangement. Would you be interested in becoming a personal concierge?"
Acacia hesitated, but only for a moment.
"Yes, madame. I believe the skills I have are transferable to assisting an individual client."
Madame Bishop opened the file and uncapped a pen. She made a few notes.
"It's possible the position would require travel. What would you do to ensure you maintain a consistently high level of service outside Paris?"
"In both of my positions, I've worked with concierges from hotels in other countries to assist guests, so I already have an international network. I'd be more than happy to cultivate that network. I believe my facility with languages is also an asset."
"Have you traveled much?"
Acacia shook her head, but forced a smile.
"No, madame. But I'm enthusiastic about the possibility. I enjoy learning about other cultures."
"According to your paperwork, your citizenship is Brazilian, and you are on a work permit tied to your position at the Victoire. Why do you want to leave?"
Madame's blue eyes grew razor sharp. Acacia thought very quickly, maintaining her smile.
"The Victoire is an excellent hotel, but the senior concierge is firmly entrenched, and for the time being there isn't room for promotion. I'm eager to expand my experience so I may apply for senior concierge positions some day."
"So you wouldn't see yourself as a personal concierge in the long term?"
"That would depend on the position."
"I see."
The woman gazed at her sharply.
"Do you possess any other talents that aren't listed in your curriculum vitae?"
"I enjoy sports and try to stay physically fit. I studied art history."
"Anything else?"
Madame persisted. Acacia developed the impression that Madame Bishop was expecting something in particular, but Acacia didn't know what it could be.
I think that's all.
Acacia forced another smile.
As with any prospective employee, we have to conduct a background check. Also, we would need you to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Our clients expect confidentiality with respect to any information you might glean while in their employ, even with regard to the interview process.
Acacia's smile didn't falter.
As a concierge, I'm committed to confidentiality.
Excellent.
Madame produced several pages that were stapled together.
Please take a few moments to review this agreement. If you accept it, please sign and date at the bottom. May I see your passport? I'll ask my assistant to make a photocopy.
Acacia retrieved her Brazilian passport and work permit from her briefcase and handed them over. The woman excused herself and exited the office, leaving Acacia to read the form. The non-disclosure agreement appeared to be fairly standard, although she noted that the form expected her to keep confidential the names and identities of any potential employers she might encounter. She read the agreement twice and signed and dated it. In the end, Acacia wasn't sure how the interview had gone. Certainly, it was very different from the other interviews she'd had. She knew a search of her passport or fingerprints would find nothing damning. Even if KLH somehow pulled her birth certificate from Brazil, there wouldn't be a problem. Still, she lived with the fear that someday someone would discover who she really was, and he would find her. The office door opened, and Madame returned.
Did you sign the form?
She returned Acacia's passport and work permit.
Yes.
Acacia placed the signed agreement on the woman's desk.
Good. One of our clients is in the office today and has expressed an interest in meeting you. Would you object to a second interview?
Acacia turned in her chair.
Not at all.
This way, please.
Madame waited for Acacia to pack up her briefcase and escorted her down the hall to what was labeled a conference room. She opened the door.
Monsieur Nicolas Cassera, I'd like you to meet Mademoiselle Acacia Santos of Hotel Victoire. Mademoiselle, Monsieur Cassera has a few questions for you.
Madame guided Acacia into the conference room.
You can ring my assistant when you're finished, monsieur.
Thank you. A deep voice spoke from the other end of the conference room. Madame closed the door.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Acacia greeted the broad back of a tall man who stood at one of the windows, gazing at the financial district with his hands in his pockets.
Bonjour, mademoiselle.
He turned. Acacia placed a hand over her mouth as she realized the man who stood in front of her was none other than Monsieur Breckman. Chapter 14. Acacia retreated and put her hand on the door handle.
All I ask is a moment of your time.
Monsieur Breckman remained by the windows.
You're stalking me.
She cast him an accusatory look.
Far from it.
He gestured to a chair, but Acacia refused to take it.
Who are you?
Nicolas Cassira. He stepped toward her and extended his hand. She spurned it.
We've gotten off on the wrong foot.
He lowered his voice.
I regret this. You changed your name. And your appearance.
She gestured to his face, which was now bearded. His scar had been covered, presumably with some kind of prosthetic that blended into his beard. His dark hair was combed differently.
I'm still scarred.
He gazed at her coolly.
I just choose to cover it on occasion.
Acacia had to fight the urge to touch her temple, where the skin was marred but hidden.
Why the name change?
I'll explain in a moment. I've made several missteps, which I mean to correct. The gratuity was not intended as a bribe, but rather a reward for excellent service.
Wrongs can't be rectified by money.
I agree. Nicholas's tone was sincere.
I'm not here to give you your gratuity. I'm here to offer an explanation.
He gestured to one of the chairs again.
Thank you, I prefer to stand.
Very well. He placed his hands in his pockets once again.
My family owns a number of different corporations. I'm involved with their oversight. A few years ago, I began devoting much of my time to the recovery of stolen art. Acacia's gaze sharpened. Nicholas smiled. I knew that would pique your curiosity. Because of the nature of the black market, I assume different identities. I have the support of several governments, and sometimes travel on diplomatic passports.
Why would a government support you?
My goal is to return stolen art to its rightful owners. National governments view me as an ally. Acacia looked at him curiously.
Are you a spy?
Nicholas's dark eyes twinkled.
I inhabit the corporate world while dabbling in black market art and antiquities.
He extended his arms.
Think of me as Robin Hood in a suit. There was a theft at the Uffizi in Florence a few years ago. Someone stole a collection of illustrations of Dante's The Divine Comedy. Later on they were recovered. Was that you?
No. He lowered his arms. But you heard about that.
It was all over the news.
I know the Emersons, the present owner and his wife, because my family sold them the illustrations. But I was not the Robin Hood who returned them.
Robin Hood was captured by the Sheriff of Nottingham.
I have powerful friends who assist me in evading capture. She squinted at him.
Is that why the BRB released you?
They released me because I was on the trail of a stolen painting. I was undercover, which is why I couldn't explain myself to you. Marcel was the intermediary between an art dealer and me. Unfortunately, he was attacked before he could give me the location of the meeting or the name of the dealer.
I didn't know Marcel had those kind of connections.
Probably because those connections run through the black market. Nicholas took a step closer. A couple of years ago, I expressed interest in an artifact I knew was illegal to acquire. At first, Marcel refused. Later, he said he might have a source that could help me. I've been using Marcel ever since.
Did you ask him for a relic?
Nicholas chuckled.
No.
Acacia waited, expecting him to expand on his answer. But he didn't. She clutched her briefcase.
Marcel is still in a coma.
I've been trying to discover who attacked him. You should know, mademoiselle, Marcel has been procuring illegal goods and services for his clients for years. I'm convinced Monsieur Ra has some awareness of these activities, and probably takes a commission. His animosity toward you suggests he sees you as a threat.
I'm not a threat to anyone.
Nicholas gave her a pointed look. You're a person of integrity who has a friend in the BRB. Ra doesn't want their scrutiny. He has to get rid of you or risk exposure. Acacia's shoulders slumped.
Then there's nothing I can do to keep my job.
Nicholas guided her to a chair, and she finally sat down. He walked over to the conference table and lifted a bottle of sparkling water. He poured some into a glass and presented it to her.
Thank you.
She sipped, her mind racing.
I didn't know about any of this.
I thought as much.
If law enforcement ever investigated the Victoire and made arrests, my reputation would be tarnished. No other hotel would want to hire me.
That's why I'm here. Acacia tasted the water again.
I don't need rescuing.
Nicholas's expression tightened. He pulled up a chair and sat facing her.
My executive assistant is unable to travel.
I need someone who can accompany me on business trips and help with local arrangements. I also need an interpreter.
I'm sure there are many potential executive assistants who could fill the position.
I don't want them. I want you. Acacia arched an eyebrow. Nicholas leaned forward and rested his forearms on his knees.
You have concierge experience, fluency in several languages, and a background in art. Why not contact me directly rather than using Madame Bishop to lure me out here?
Nicholas stiffened.
There's no luring. KLH is a respected employment firm. I asked Madame Bishop to mediate our contract because I wanted to be open and above board. She will ensure there's a paper trail, and she can assist you in contacting my references. Who are your references?
The Minister of the Interior, for one.
Acacia restrained a laugh.
The Minister of the Interior would vouch for you?
Yes. His dark eyes focused on hers. In one of our conversations, you mentioned the theft of a Degas while it was on loan in Marseille. You're probably aware the painting was recovered. Acacia nodded. Nicholas smiled. I was involved in the recovery. I can offer you a contract through one of my Paris offices. You'll receive an excellent salary and benefits, which Madame Bishop will outline. The contract would only be for 1 year. After that, my current executive assistant should be able to travel.
If I leave the Victoire, I lose my work permit.
As I said, the Minister of the Interior is a friend. I can secure a temporary work permit for you and apply for an EU blue card.
An EU blue card?
Acacia couldn't keep the longing out of her voice.
Yes.
Usually EU blue cards can only be secured after 1 year, but given my connections, we'll try to fast-track it. Once you have a blue card, you'll be able to live and work in the European Union indefinitely. KLH can act as your reference and help you find work as a concierge after your contract with me is complete.
This is all very generous, but I still don't understand why you're offering me a job. We had very little contact at the hotel, and much of it was unpleasant.
I apologize for my unpleasantness. Nicholas's eyes took on a new intensity. Even in the face of such challenges, you manifested several qualities I admire.
Such as?
Honesty, integrity,
civic duty.
Acacia was tempted to offer sarcasm, but Monsieur Cassegrain's expression was earnest.
You made at least 2 outrageous demands at the hotel. A bespoke suit in a matter of hours? A relic? I'm not keen to work for a person who treats his staff that way.
Nicholas's dark eyes narrowed. I wasn't sure I could trust you.
Those tasks were a test?
Acacia lifted her voice. In my life, I've known precious few people I can trust. Given Marcel's activities, it was highly likely you were also involved. I had to know for certain. Acacia stood, hand shaking, and placed her empty water glass on the table.
I don't appreciate being a test subject.
I would feel the same way. But you called the BRB. He smiled. I was impressed. She scowled.
Is that why you threatened me when I mentioned the meeting Marcel was setting up? Because you found me impressive?
Nicholas's smile fled. He stood. I was worried you'd get hurt.
So far, only 2 people have threatened me. You and Monsieur Ra.
Ra is a snake. Nicholas made a fist with his right hand. You're a person of integrity, in a workplace surrounded by vipers. I'm offering you a way out. Further, I'm offering you an opportunity to work with me to restore stolen art to the great galleries of Europe. It's a tremendous opportunity.
What if I don't like working for you?
Then quit. This isn't indentured servitude, mademoiselle. You can quit at any time, provided you give adequate notice. But I believe we will work well together. Certainly, working for me will be more secure than working at the hotel.
Wouldn't I just be leaping from the frying pan into the fire? I'm still not sure who you really are, Monsieur Cassegrain, assuming that's your real name. And your work is dangerous.
I don't take unnecessary risks, and I'm not a thief. Money usually exchanges hands in these transactions, which is why I've been successful. I have excellent security, which would protect you as well. Acacia remained unconvinced. Nicholas studied her features. There's risk in everything, Acacia. Right now, you are in a position to choose what happens to you before someone like Ra takes that choice out of your hands. Acacia picked up her briefcase.
Thank you for your offer, but I cannot accept it.
Nicholas placed his hands on his waist, flaring out his suit jacket. You'd prefer to stay at the Victoire than work for me?
You tested me for your own amusement, and as a result of that test, I've been demoted and my career is in jeopardy. I need to find another job as soon as possible, hopefully one where my employer doesn't treat his employees as lab rats.
Something flared in his eyes. He was silent for a moment.
I should remind you that you've signed a confidentiality agreement, which means you aren't to speak about anything we've discussed.
I understand.
A cashier retrieved her briefcase.
Goodbye.
Nicholas didn't reply. Acacia felt his eyes on her as she walked to the door. Chapter 15. It was a quiet evening on the night shift. Acacia attended to her list of tasks and made notes for the daytime concierge. Then she sat at her desk, deep in thought. Madame Bishop had been surprised when Acacia declined Monsieur Cassereau's job offer. She'd mentioned the salary and the prestige attached to becoming his executive assistant. Diplomatically, Acacia had said she wasn't a good fit. Madame Bishop made no secret of the fact she thought Acacia was being foolish, but she accepted her decision. Sitting at her desk in the empty lobby of Hotel Victoire, Acacia wondered if Monsieur Cassereau's new identity was itself a fiction. It was possible Madame Bishop was colluding with him to deceive her. Perhaps he was still angry over his arrest and fixated on revenge. Acacia decided to Google him. Googling Nicholas Cassereau provided very different results than when she'd searched for Pierre Breckmann. There were pages and pages of entries on Nicholas, centering on his family and their vast financial empire. The Cassereaus were involved in a variety of charitable and philanthropic endeavors. Acacia found several photographs of a youthful, unscarred Nicholas at black tie functions, including a few images of him with a petite blonde woman who was identified as his girlfriend. In more recent photographs, the blonde was absent, and his face was bearded, his scar concealed. Acacia puzzled over Nicholas's choice to appear unshaven and scarred while assuming the identity of Pierre Breckmann. From what he'd said during their encounter at KLH, the scar was genuine. He seemed to have gone to great lengths to hide it while appearing in public as Nicholas Cassereau. She clicked on a news item from 2007. The article made reference to the theft of several works of art from the Cassereau Foundation Museum in Cologne, Switzerland. Scanning the story, Acacia focused on three lines. The curator of the museum, Mademoiselle Riva Cassereau, was attacked during the robbery and died as a result of her injuries. Mademoiselle Cassereau's great-grandfather, Edouard J. Cassereau, founded the museum. She is survived by her parents, Armand and Hélène, and her brother, Nicholas. Acacia stared in mounting horror. Nicholas's sister was murdered. The photograph that accompanied the news story showed a young, smiling, red-haired woman with warm brown eyes. The article referenced her education at the Sorbonne, as well as her devotion to public art education and the use of art therapy. She'd founded a number of scholarships and had opened the doors of the museum to children for several programs. In that moment, Nicholas's quest to recover stolen art took on new meaning. Art theft was a crime that almost never involved violence. The murder of Riva Cassereau was shocking, her life and good works snuffed out. Acacia searched the internet for more information, but a recent article in a Geneva newspaper confirmed that the stolen items, which included a Degas and a Monet, had never been recovered. Riva's murder remained unsolved. Acacia closed her laptop. Now that she'd seen the smiling face of Riva Cassereau and learned of her tragic death, the image would haunt her. How much more did Riva's death haunt the Cassereaus? Nicholas's work had to be propelled by the loss of his sister. Perhaps he viewed his activities as a tribute to her, or, at the very least, an attempt to right one of the wrongs that had been done to his family. Acacia wondered how far he'd go in his quest. In any case, he probably gave little thought to exacting revenge against her. He had a far more important, far more dangerous mission. Her meeting with Monsieur Cassereau had been a revelation. Not only did she learn his true name, she'd learned the truth about what was going on behind the scenes at Hotel Victoire. Marcel had arranged a meeting that, according to Nicholas, was related to a stolen painting. Then Marcel had been viciously attacked. Acacia wasn't an expert on crime, but it was clear that both the attack on Marcel and the attack on Nicholas's sister were atypical in the art world. Nicholas was the common link to both crimes. Acacia reflected on his overreaction to her mention of the meeting Marcel had set up. She could accord Nicholas some compassion, given the loss he'd suffered. No wonder he traveled with such an extensive security detail. No wonder he'd been so persistent she quit the hotel. When Acacia's shift ended the following morning, she was still thinking about Riva Cassirer and her brother. She changed into jeans and motorcycle boots and exited through the service entrance at the back of the hotel. It was after 7 in the morning, and the sun had already risen. She'd parked her motorcycle illegally behind one of the dumpsters, having persuaded hotel security to turn a blind eye. Nicholas had warned her to be cautious when traveling to and from the hotel, but his warnings were superfluous. She didn't want to end up like Marcel, and would do anything in her power to avoid it. Acacia hadn't told Luke about her interview with Monsieur Cassirer, but he'd continued to provide her with BRB surveillance when she traveled to and from the hotel. As she walked toward the dumpsters, she looked for the unmarked car that had been parked in the alley when she arrived at work that evening. The car was gone. She looked toward the street, hoping to see the previous car's replacement, but the alley and what she could see of the street were empty. She stopped, puzzled. Without warning, someone grabbed her from behind. A hand gripped her throat, while the other tightened across her abdomen. Acacia tensed as her worst fears were realized.
"Where's the book?"
the man whispered in French. Relief flowed through her at the sound of the familiar language. He was not who she feared he was. Acacia dropped her backpack and helmet and dug her elbow into the man's side. She plowed into his kneecap with her foot and scraped the sole of her boot down his shin before stomping on his toes. He released her, howling curses in a language she did not understand. Acacia whirled around and punched the man in the throat. He dropped to his knees and clutched his neck.
"Get on your bike and get the hell out of here,"
a voice shouted in English. Acacia turned and saw Rick, Nicholas's bodyguard, running toward her. Ahead of him by a few strides was another man, large and powerfully built. Acacia gaped at Rick, then grabbed her backpack and hopped on her motorcycle. She kept her eyes trained on the two men as she switched on the vehicle. Rick tackled the man from behind before he reached Acacia. With a rev of the engine, she piloted the motorcycle around the dumpsters. She raced onto the street and wove in and out of traffic as adrenaline flooded her system. She was halfway home when she realized she'd left her helmet behind. Chapter 16 Acacia parked her motorcycle in front of her building and ran inside. She climbed the steps to her flat as if the devil himself were chasing her. Inside her jacket, her cell phone rang. She ignored it. Once she was locked safely in her apartment, she sank to the floor, her body shaking. She covered her chest with her hand and took a deep breath, willing her heart to slow. No one had followed her from the hotel to her apartment. No unmarked car sat downstairs in view of the front door to her building. She was completely unprotected. Claude meowed his greeting and rubbed his ear against the side of her leg. She kissed the cat's head and pulled him into her lap. When her cell phone rang again with an unknown number, she hoped it was Luke.
"Hello?"
Acacia could hear movement on the other end of the line, the echoing of footsteps, and then a low, gravelly voice. "Rick called. Where are you?" Acacia's heart quickened.
"How did you get this number?"
"You listed it on your curriculum vitae. Are you hurt?" Nicholas's tone was clipped.
"No."
"Good." He let out a loud exhalation. "Rick failed. No one should have gotten close enough to touch you. He said you handled yourself well, however."
"What was Rick doing outside the hotel?"
"I asked him to keep an eye on you when the BRB pulled their surveillance."
"They pulled their surveillance? No one told me."
"Probably because the person doing the surveillance was paid off."
"Why?"
Acacia breathed. The man paused. "You know why." Acacia shut her eyes.
Did you set this up? Is this some kind of game?
I'm not a thug, mademoiselle, Nicholas snapped. Acacia placed Claude on the floor, stood, and double-checked the locks on her door. She peered through the viewer. The hall was empty.
Thank you for your concern, but I'm fine. Goodbye.
Wait. The footsteps that had sounded in her ear ceased, and Acacia heard a muffled sound, as if Nicholas was covering his phone with his hand. A few seconds later, he returned.
You aren't safe in your apartment. The man who attacked you may have followed you there. Rick is on his way.
Acacia looked through the viewer again.
You think they'll come here?
One of your assailants escaped. If he knows your work schedule, he probably knows where you live.
What do they want?
Nicholas's voice grew soft.
They want to solve a problem. I'm sorry to say it, but you appear to be that problem. Rick expected hotel security to intervene because they have cameras covering the back of the hotel. No one appeared, and no one called the police. The man Rick wrestled with had a gun.
They had guns?
Acacia slumped against the door.
Yes.
She made a noise in her throat.
I spoke to one of the security guards before I started my shift. He let me park my motorcycle behind the dumpsters, even though it's against the rules.
Precisely.
He told them.
She placed her hand on her forehead.
He told them where I parked, and then sat back and watched.
You have to leave Paris.
Nicholas's tone grew urgent.
Rick will escort you to the airport, and one of my men will accompany you to Geneva. You'll be safe there.
Is this what happened to Marcel? Hotel security told someone when Marcel was off duty and where his motorcycle was parked?
I don't know.
Nicholas breathed a heavy sigh.
It's possible.
If I go to work tonight, I'll end up like Marcel.
She tugged at her hair.
If I don't go, I'll lose my job and my work permit.
Monsieur Cassirer made an exasperated noise.
I can put a security detail on you, but Ra will ban them from the hotel and you'll be unprotected. They underestimated you this morning. They won't repeat that mistake.
You want to help me get out of Paris?
Yes.
Why?
Nicholas lowered his voice.
I don't want your blood on my conscience.
Acacia felt a chill travel down her spine as she remembered what had happened to Riva Cassira. She heard footsteps through the telephone. There was a pause, and they began again. Nicholas was pacing.
The hotel isn't safe. If security saw Rick this morning, they'll discover his connection with Pierre Breckman. Whoever is looking for you, they'll start looking for me. I'm not waiting until I'm found.
You think they'll come after you?
I'm not sure what they want, but if you quit the hotel, they may wash their hands of you. It's the journal,
Acacia thought.
There's only one book these men would want, and that's Marcel's journal. The security cameras in the lobby must have caught me retrieving it.
Acacia didn't share her realization with Nicholas. She listened to his pacing and his agitated breathing. He wasn't giving up. Claude looked up at her and meowed.
What's that?
Nicholas almost barked.
That's my cat.
She has a cat,
he murmured.
Of course she does.
He cleared his throat. You can take your chances at the hotel, but since you can't rely on their security, you'll be at risk. You can go to the police, but again, it will only be a matter of time before the persons who are after you elude the police. It's possible they've already paid off the BRB. Acacia picked up Claude.
If you're worried they'll come after you, then we have a common enemy.
All the more reason for us to work together.
Acacia buried her face in Claude's fur. Fatigue began to overtake her as the adrenaline in her system waned. She could call Luke, but he'd involve the BRB. At this point, she couldn't trust them. They'd left her unprotected precisely at the moment she'd been attacked. An ugly memory flashed through her mind. Acacia remembered a previous attack, that had almost been successful. She'd escaped and fled Rio for Recife. Paris was supposed to be safe. If she wanted to continue living and working in France, she had to avoid both her attackers and the police. Remaining at Hotel Victoire and involving Luc would jeopardize that. And there was the small matter that she still had Marcel's journal. She could be charged with obstruction and possibly sent back to Brazil.
"The enemy of my enemy is my ally," she thought. "At least for now." "All right."
She shut her eyes in resignation. The sound of Nicholas's pacing ceased.
"Rick will arrive at your apartment shortly. I'll meet you in Geneva. Call me if there's trouble." "Fine."
Acacia was angry. She didn't like feeling powerless.
"And Acacia,"
Nicholas's tone was grave,
"remove everything you value from your apartment. If they decide to look for you there, they won't be gentle."
She whispered her acquiescence and ended the call. Claude meowed at her again. She hugged him tightly.
"What have I done?"
Chapter 17. A short time later, Acacia knocked on Kate's door, with Rick at her side. He looked slightly the worse for wear, with cuts and abrasions on his hands and face. He wore dark sunglasses and an earpiece, and had appeared at Acacia's door holding her motorcycle helmet. With the exception of Claude and his things, Acacia had packed everything she valued into a rolling suitcase and a briefcase, including Marcel's journal. Claude meowed in protest from behind the walls of his carrier, scratching at the sides. Kate opened the door to her flat wearing only a bathrobe. She rubbed her eyes.
"What time is it?"
"Early. I need a favor."
Acacia addressed Kate in French, partially because she'd only heard Rick speak English and hoped his French was poor.
"Whoa!"
Kate started and took a step back as she caught sight of Rick.
"What's that?"
Acacia addressed the large man in English.
"I need a minute."
He grunted.
"You aren't out of my sight."
"Fine. I'm not talking in the hallway."
Acacia pushed past him and entered Kate's apartment. He followed and closed the door. Kate gave Rick a dirty look.
"Who's the giant?"
she whispered in French. Acacia turned her back to Rick.
"He's a security guard. There was an incident at the hotel. I'm leaving the city for a few days."
Kate looked horrified.
"What happened?" "Someone jumped me."
Acacia gestured over her shoulder toward Rick.
"He's a private security guard for one of the guests, and he came to help me. Security at the hotel ignored the incident, so I'm not going back to work. Can you look after Claude for me?"
Kate examined Acacia more closely.
"Someone jumped you? Are you okay?" "Just a few bruises."
Acacia placed the cat carrier on the floor.
"I'm sorry, Kate. I don't have a lot of time. Can you take care of Claude while I'm gone?"
Kate looked down at the cat carrier.
"Of course."
She blinked in confusion.
"Why would hotel security ignore you? Did you call the police?" "Something is going on at the hotel."
Acacia handed Kate a shopping bag that contained cat food and toys.
"I'm going away until I figure out what to do next."
Kate put the bag aside and faced her friend.
"This is ridiculous. You need to call Luke."
Acacia shook her head. She glanced over at Rick, who scowled.
"I have to go. We're on our way to the airport."
Kate took Acacia's hand.
"Give me Luke's number. I'll call him. I'll contact Luke after I leave the city."
Acacius's tone was firm.
"I'll text you." "Just blink if you're doing this against your will,"
Kate whispered. Acacia stared back at her.
"Okay."
Kate narrowed her eyes at Rick.
"I'd better hear from you every day, or I'm tracking Luke down. If you don't hear from me, tell Luke to speak to Madame Bishop at KLH. It's the firm I interviewed with the other day."
Acacia glanced over her shoulder toward the door that led into the hall.
"The men who came after me may come here. Be careful going in and out of the building. Please keep Claude with you." "I will,"
Kate's gaze moved to Rick again.
I hope you know what you're doing.
We have to go,
Rick announced. He walked toward the door. Acacia hugged her friend and took a moment to say goodbye to Claude before she exited the apartment with her luggage.